He is risen. Oh, let's try it again. He is risen. Praise the Lord. Great to have you here today. Kids, great job. Wow. And adults, great job working with them. Praise the Lord. Beautiful. Thank you so much, everyone who's been involved this morning in helping with the delicious brunch or breakfast and in helping us to sing and worship the Lord. What a beautiful morning. Praise God. This is a day to celebrate, the day that we celebrate Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead. And that is good news. But what if not? What if not he is risen? What if there is no resurrection of the dead? And you might think, why would you do that? Because God does. So open your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Many of you probably know 1 Corinthians 13 as the love chapter. If you didn't know, 1 Corinthians is Paul's letter to the believers in the city of Corinth in the first century. There were a lot of problems in that church. One of the problems was that the people were having difficulty loving one another, and that is a problem to this day. People have a hard time truly loving one another. But another problem back then was that some in the church were saying, there's no resurrection of the dead. Hard to believe, right? But you know what I've learned? There are people in the church to this day who say there's no resurrection of the dead. And so we need to deal with that. What if they're right? What if not, he is risen? That is the title of today's message. We are in 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 20. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty. And your faith also is empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. We'll stop there for now. He is risen. Good for you. But what if not? What if not? And again, you might think, Pastor, why would you on Easter, are you casting doubt? No, I'm not casting doubt. I'm preaching the Word of God. And I think you will agree with me in the end that strangely, it's very edifying to go through the question, what if there is no resurrection of the dead? God himself is raising this question for very good reason. God knows better than anyone that there are deceivers and false teachers and the devil and demons who have influenced people even within the churches to deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and to deny that there is soon coming a resurrection. How many of you have heard of the BBC? Oh, look, a lot of hands go up. British Broadcasting Corporation. Quote, the world's leading public service broadcaster, unquote. That's according to them, of course. Well, just a few years ago in 2017, the BBC did a survey on the resurrection, and they published the results in an article with this attention-grabbing headline. The resurrection did not happen, say, one quarter of Christians. According to their survey, 25% of professing Christians say that the resurrection did not happen. Of course, such a survey says nothing about the veracity or the factualness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It says everything about those who professed to be Christians but said it didn't happen. They're not Christians. simply. Anyone who says he is a Christian but denies the resurrection is a liar. Just ask John in 1 John. He will tell you who is a liar. Many people proclaim to be Christians, but they are no Christians at all. Nevertheless, the Spirit of God wants us to set our minds on what if? What if there is no resurrection of the dead? The implications are astounding. And interestingly, the Spirit of God wants us to know what they are. What are the implications of no resurrection? There are at least seven of them. First, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then of course, number one, Christ himself is not risen, verses 12 and 13. Paul says, now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, let's stop there. Well, Christ was certainly being preached that he was risen from the dead back in those days. And to this day, countless thousands and even millions have preached all over the world that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Christ means anointed one. And long ago in ancient history, God promised to send his Messiah, that means anointed one. His Christ, that means anointed one. Messiah, anointed one in Hebrew. Christ, anointed one in Greek. And his anointed one came. And the angel said, you shall call his name Jesus, Jehovah saves, because he will save his people from their sins. The Christ came. He lived a sinless life, Hebrews 4:15. He died a sinner's death, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He was buried, and on the third day he rose again from the dead, 1 Corinthians 15:1-3. After that, he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs, Acts chapter 1, verse 3, over a period of 40 days. And he showed himself alive to hundreds upon hundreds of witnesses. And, of course, people went about all over the world preaching that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. But, verse 12, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you, that is in the church, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? By the way, the answer to that question, like, because you might say, well, yeah, how could that be that people in the church at Corinth were preaching or saying that there's not going to be a resurrection of the dead? You know how? Bad company, what? Very good. Corrupts good morals. That's later in this chapter. False teachers or hanging around with people who are unbelievers can corrupt your thinking. It can corrupt your faith. Beware who you spend time with. Beware what you do with your time. Beware what you listen to. Because that is how people in Corinth had believed that there's not going to be a resurrection. But of course, Paul asked this question in order to convict them and expose their folly. He says, how do some among you say that there's no resurrection? And now comes a list of implications. The first, of course, is that Christ himself is not risen. Verse 13, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. I mean, God says he is in the scripture. All the apostles say that he is. Jesus says that he is. All the ladies that went and saw the empty tomb, they say that he is. Countless millions ever since have said that he is. But what if they're right, those who say he isn't? Well, first, Christ is not risen. And you might say, and? Second implication, verse 14. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty. And now you might be saying, well, that's on you. You're a preacher, not me. Well, let's get implication number three in there. And your faith is also empty. Empty is the Greek word kenos. It means there's no substance, there's no foundation here, and it really was the ultimate slam, and still is, of every false religion. The simple fact is that every false religion is truly empty. But by saying this, Paul is saying, you're just like all the false religions of the world. You're just like the idol worshippers. There's nothing to your faith, and there's nothing to what we preach if, in fact, Christ isn't risen, or if, in fact, the dead don't rise. Now, we have to take a few minutes here and think about this. Like, what do we preach? And I'm not the only preacher. We, by the grace of God, we are blessed to have many good preachers and Bible teachers in this church. Praise God. So what do we believe and preach and teach, and what do you believe, and what would therefore be empty if Christ isn't risen? Well, I'll give you a short list here. First of all, life. We preach eternal life, abundant life, life after death, life up from the dead. We preach that and you believe that, but that's based on the resurrection. Jesus said, John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? We do. But you know what? If there's no resurrection of the dead, we believe in vain. That is completely empty. Preaching that and believing that is empty. What about heaven? We preach and you believe in heaven. We believe there's going to be a future glorious home for all who have ever believed in Jesus Christ, a place where there will be no more sorrow, no more tears, no more crying, no more pain, no more illness, no more death, no more curse. But that's based on the resurrection. Jesus said, John 14:2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. How many of you have ever been comforted by those words? Yeah, but you know what? That is completely empty if there's no resurrection of the dead. If Christ isn't risen, then preaching and believing that there's this future glorious home in heaven, that Jesus is going to come back and take us all there, and there's going to be this place of bliss, completely empty, completely baseless. What about judgment? We actually believe in the good news of a coming judgment. We believe that truly, Acts 17:30, these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but he is now commanding all men everywhere to repent. Let me just stop there and say that if you're here today and you're still living in your sins, God is commanding you today to repent. To confess your sin to God and say, God, forgive me. I have been sinning against you, and to turn from your sins. And here's why you should turn today. Because God has appointed the day on which he is about to judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given proof of this to all by raising him from the dead. But you know what? If Christ isn't risen, no judgment. Preaching that and believing that is empty. No basis for it. It's just like what the false religions do. You say, yeah, but we'd still have Jesus. Yeah, but you'd have Jesus as what? See, we preach and you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but Romans 1:4 says he was declared to be the Son of God with power by the Spirit of holiness through the resurrection from the dead. So you know what? Even preaching and believing that Jesus is the Son of God is empty if there's no resurrection. What about forgiveness? What if we'd still have forgiveness of sins? Nope. No, you wouldn't. Because, see, we preach and you believe that Jesus died to pay the price for sin, but the proof that his sacrifice was accepted by God on our behalf is his resurrection from the dead. Not only that, Jesus said, I have authority on earth to forgive sins. And he was a prophet. But if his prophecy that he would rise from the dead didn't come true, then he's a false prophet and he's not to be believed. The truth is, if there's no resurrection from the dead, there's no forgiveness of sins. There's no coming judgment of the wicked. There's no coming heaven. There's no promise of life. There's no salvation. All right, we preach and you believe that there's coming a day when the devil and all of his demons and those who have followed the devil and his demons will all be cast into the lake of fire and will all be delivered from this present evil age. But if the dead don't rise, if there's no resurrection of the dead, forget it. There's no hope of deliverance from this present evil age. It's just going to keep on going on as it is and go downhill. Does that sound good to you? No. In fact, I'll just get to the bottom line. Bottom line, without the resurrection, there's no gospel. There is no good news. Look at the beginning of this chapter, 15:1. Paul is reminding them of the gospel, and he says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, verse 2, by which also you are being saved. Let me stop there for a moment and remind you that the way that you are currently being delivered from the power and the penalty of sin is by continually hearing the gospel, which is why we are always very concerned when people go away from listening to the gospel. Please don't ever do that. No matter where you go, no matter where you live, don't get away from listening to the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached, because it's by that that you are being saved. And then he says, by which you are being saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Is it possible to believe in vain? Oh, yeah. It's possible to believe in vain. If someone believes, professes faith in Jesus Christ, and then they fall away, what does the Bible say? If we go on sinning willfully after we've received a full knowledge of the truth, there's no longer a sacrifice for sins. Beware of that as well. If you're someone who's heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, but now you're going to go on sinning, you're guilty of trampling underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ, and there is no way you will escape the judgment of God. But the good news says, verse 3, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And we say, there it is. That's the good news. But not if there's no resurrection, right? You take away the resurrection and Jesus is dead, just like all the false prophets, just like all the false teachers, right? Just like Muhammad and Buddha and all these others. They're all dead. We preach a risen Savior, and you believe in a risen Savior. But if he isn't risen, then there's no good news, and all that we preach and all that you believe is empty. We also believe that Jesus wins, right? We just went through the book of Revelation this past year, last year, and we say, Jesus wins, God wins. Not if there's no resurrection. Jesus lost. God lost. We all lose if there's no resurrection. Number 4, if you're keeping track, right? Number 1 is that Christ is not risen. Number 2 is that our preaching is empty. And number 3 is that your faith is empty. And then I went through a list of things that we preach and things you believe that all would be empty if there's no resurrection. We're on number 4. Fourth implication, if there's no resurrection of the dead. And it really gets worse here. If there's no resurrection of the dead, look at verse 15. It says, yes, or your Bible might say, moreover, like it gets worse here. Moreover, we are found, you know what that means? Exposed. We who believe and preach in a risen Christ, we're exposed, the gig's up, the show's over, we're exposed as false witnesses. False witnesses of God, meaning we have been lying about God in the name of God. Why? Well, because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he didn't raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. These 6 things the Lord hates, 7 are an abomination to him, and one of them is a false witness who speaks lies, Proverbs 6:16. Anyone who tells lies is an abomination in the sight of God. I'll tell you what, if you're a preacher, at this point, you're dead meat. If Christ isn't risen, your life has been a life of preaching lies in the name of God. If Christ is not risen. Verse 16, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if he's not risen, here's number 5, the 5th implication, verse 17. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Now, see where it says your faith is futile in verse 17? Take a look. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. But if you look up at verse 14, it said your faith is empty. This is a different word. This is, I dare say, even worse. What does it mean your faith is futile? It means nothing you have ever done for Jesus' name will ever bear any fruit. How many of you have labored for years for Christ? Boy, there's not many answers. I think you're just being humble, I guess. Because I think a lot of you have labored a lot of years for Jesus Christ. Well, it's all a waste if the dead don't rise. How many of you could honestly say, and this should be few, how many of you can honestly say you've really experienced some pain, some suffering for the cause of Christ? All a waste, completely futile. None of that will ever bear any fruit if the dead don't rise. How many of you have ever taken a stand for the gospel against others? And I mean, you had to battle. You had to do spiritual battle. Look at what Paul says down in verse 32. If in the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, stop there. What beasts is he talking about? Anybody know? Like beasts? Wicked men. He's saying, if in the manner of men I have fought with really evil men in Ephesus, and he did, and some of us have experienced that, what advantage is it to me? If Christ isn't risen, what a waste of time, effort, energy, and pain. Some of you have had it where you have real physical pain in your gut because of the battles that you have fought for Christ. You know what? If the dead don't rise, all a waste. Here's the wise way if the dead don't rise. End of verse 32. Let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. That's the motto of the unbeliever. Come on, let's eat and let's drink and let's party and let's carry on. Let's not battle against sin. Let's not battle for holiness. Let's not battle against error. Let's not battle for the truth. If the dead don't rise, come on. Eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow we die, and that's the end. Your faith is futile. And if you look at verse 17 again, this is still the fifth implication. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. That means you're not washed, you're not cleansed, you're not sanctified, you're not justified. We sang this morning, His robes for mine, what a wonderful exchange. Not if the dead don't rise. You're still in your filthy, dirty, sinful clothes. Every sin you have ever committed in your life still sticks to you, and you're in trouble. This is true, if the dead don't rise. And what about, now this might hurt a little bit, but we have to go through it. How many of you can remember a loved one, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, who was a true believer? All right, well, what if the dead don't rise? What if the dead don't rise? Verse 18. Then also, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. They're all gone. They're not in heaven like we have comforted ourselves to believe. We've said, oh, well, she's with the Lord now, and she wouldn't come back here for anything. He's in a better place now. He's been set free from his cancer, and they're in a better place. Not if the dead don't rise. Not without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. But if the dead don't rise, there's no comfort. Right? All those who have gone before us have perished. And beloved, for all these reasons, number 7, verse 19. If there's no resurrection of the dead, or if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. People should look at us gathering here this morning and say, oh, they should drive by out front, look at all the cars in the parking lot, and they should weep for us and say, oh, I just feel terrible for those people. They're so deceived. Those fools. What a waste. These people, this is a perfectly good Sunday morning. You could be out doing something. And here they are gathering and singing their songs. What a waste, right? All true if the dead don't rise. Time for a transition. But, verse 20, this is a very large but now, Christ is risen from the dead, and he has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He is risen.
Amen.
Amen. He is risen. Yes, all you should shout from the rooftops now. He is risen indeed. This changes everything. You know what this means? Our preaching isn't empty. The best thing you could do with your life is give it up to preach Christ and the gospel. The best thing you could believe in your lifetime would to be believe in Jesus Christ and in His resurrection from the dead. Your faith isn't empty. There's a solid foundation, and Doc's going to preach on it next week. The wise man builds his house on the rock of Christ and His word and the gospel. He's going to define the rock for us next week, I'm confident. Our preaching isn't empty. Your faith is not in vain. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in Him, although he may die, he will live. And whoever believes in Him will never truly die. Do you believe this? Yes. In His Father's house are many mansions. And He has gone to prepare a place for us. He will come again. And He will receive us to Himself, so that where He is, there we may be also. And He is commanding all men everywhere to repent, because He has appointed the day on which He will judge the world in righteousness, and He will do it by the man whom He has ordained. He's given proof of this to all by raising Him from the dead. Jesus is the Son of God, and He has been declared to be so with power by the Spirit of holiness through the resurrection from the dead. And as all the prophets throughout human history have declared, everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins, Acts 10:43. We have a living hope. We've been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, 1 Peter 1, 3. And verse 4 says, we've been born again to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away. It is reserved in heaven for you who are being kept even now by the power of God. It's the same power by which He raised Jesus from the dead. We are not false witnesses, but true. We are no abomination to God. We are His pleasure and His delight. Your faith is the opposite of futile. What you do is never in vain. Every little thing you do for Jesus Christ will bear fruit. Everything. Work in the sound system. That bears fruit for Christ. Working projection. Cleaning up tables. Scraping up crumbs. Helping with the offering. Mowing the lawn at the church. Doing the trimming. Doing some giving. Praying. All of it bears fruit. Drop down to verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Why? Because Christ is risen. The resurrection is coming. And He has promised that everything you do for His name is never a waste. I have more good news. You are no longer in your sins if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. You are in Him. You have been washed and cleansed and sanctified and justified. Praise God for that. All of that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And we are, of all men, not most to be pitied. Instead, we weep for those who drive by and think, what a shame. We weep for those who are not blessed. We weep for those who are still blind, still in their sins, and the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, and they are perishing. And they are headed for a Christless eternity unless they repent. What of those who say there's no resurrection of the dead? They are blind. And I have a few words to you concerning them, and they are many. There are many false Christs and many false teachers in the world today. Number one, beware of them. Bad company corrupts good morals. But be bold towards them. They need to know the gospel. The gospel is the only power of God unto salvation for those who believe. And finally, if this is you, if you are someone who does not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, if you don't believe in the Bible, if you don't believe that this is the living, infallible Word of God, repent today of your foolish and sinful unbelief. Beware, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. That's the warning from the book of Hebrews. But if you're in Christ today and you are celebrating His resurrection, rejoice, beloved. We are of all men most blessed. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Isn't that good? It's like judo. I thought, why are we supposed to go in this direction of if He's not risen? Because then we get pulled back the other way and we say, no way, He is risen. My God is risen from the dead. Beloved, I pray, my prayer for you is that you would be willing to literally lay down your life for those around you. We all know John 3:16. We all know that verse so well. I pray that you would come to know 1 John 3:16 as well as John 3:16 and that you would live it. By this we know love. Here's how we know what love is. That he laid down his life for us. And we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. We do that in the church. You lay down your life for those who are sitting around you. You would be willing to die for those who are sitting around you. I pray that that will be your response to the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for sending your Son into this world to be the Savior for sinners. Thank you, Father, for giving up your Son on the cross to die in our place. And thank you for raising him up from the dead powerfully on the third day. Thank you, Father, for seating him at your right hand. Thank you for saving everyone who comes to you through him. And thank you for this day, Father, in which we remember, we celebrate, and we strengthen ourselves in this faith that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and coming again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.